This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:18 in the morning. This is the Morning Run with Shazana and Chuang. Let's get a quick update on how the bursa is looking like at this point.
Well, still sideways, 1,530 points. It's still a mixed market. So at this point in time, Malaysia is doing what Malaysia does best, which is to zig when the rest of the world goes zag.
Well, let's take a look at the rest of the world. Let's take a look at Indonesia this morning. So PT Bukalapak, one of Indonesia's biggest IPOs in recent years, has since lost more than half its value since rising $1.5 billion last August. Its shares closed at a record low of 352 rupiah on Tuesday, pushing its market value below 37 trillion rupiah. Just for context, that's about $2.6 billion. And that's 66% down from the 109 trillion rupiah market cap recorded on its first trading day.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of hand-wringing going on in Indonesia. Investors are worried that this could rain on the bullish sentiment for the Indonesian stock market because it anticipates a slew of tech IPOs for this year, actually. Names like GoTo and Bilibili are slated to go. Bilibili's a Chinese company.
Right.
Actually, not the same. This is Blibli. Slated to go public this year, but with the emergence of the Omicron and the rising inflation pressures, the question is, will 2022 be a better year for the JCI, the Jakarta Composite?
So for some thoughts on that, we have Jerry Goh, Investment Manager of Asia Equities, Aberdeen Standard Investments. Jerry, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. So one of the biggest Indonesian IPOs, PT Bukalapak, has lost more than half its value since raising $1.5 billion in August. What do you think this says about the prospects of tech companies in Indonesia?
Good morning, everyone. So on Bukalapak, it saw its value reduced by more than half post its IPO, right? I think the reasons seem to be driven by fundamentals and some by macroeconomic factors. Firstly, its e-commerce marketplace segment has been under strong competitive pressures from incumbents like C Limited as well as GoTo, leading to a loss of market share and implicated their take rates. Secondly, they've gone through a series of, I think, bad news, in fact, including where its CEO has decided to step down from the business to join the government. This led to probably a further loss in confidence in the business outlook. A few more reasons. Thirdly, locked-up period for the founders and initial shareholders would be over soon, leading to potential selling pressure, which the market is preparing for. And finally, the Fed is about to hike rates, I think around four times this year, right? Alongside potential balance sheet reduction and a tapering event. So all of these resulted in growth stocks like Bukalapak being impacted from a valuation perspective. The combination of all of these factors implicated the share price. But of course, we note that their main segment, which is the Mitra business, remains very strong and expanding. And this is something investors should take note of.
Jerry, on a more macro regional level, it seems that the fundamentals are still intact. People are still buying e-commerce, buying stuff online. And the last factor you mentioned, the Fed policy rate normalization, that's affected companies like C-Limited. C-Limited has cratered as well. Grab hasn't done too well in terms of its SPAC IPO. Just in terms of the sell-off in tech stocks, it seems to have affected the region. But how long do you think this is going to last?
I think with respect to this right, the key is really to watch out for the multiple normalization, which we've seen in some of the very, very growth stocks such as C Limited. We've seen value reducing by around 50%. Their multiples have also came down, created about 50-60% from the peak itself. So who knows how low this can go. But in general, these companies are starting to look really attractive right now, especially when the fundamentals of these companies are still really quite intact. If you talk about C Limited, the gaming segment as well as the e-commerce segment, both of them are still recording growth. It's just not as much growth as before, but they're still doing quite well. They're expanding properly. So we need to also be cognizant about the fundamental aspect and see how it goes going forward.
Just as an aside, I'm not sure whether you look at the Fed, but do you think, because in the last time in 2018, Jay Powell actually, and the Fed did back down on its policy normalization path because of the fears that the market will crater. This time around, the markets are cratering. Do you think that the policymakers might make a U-turn or maybe normalize less than the market expects?
I think with respect to this point, it's really for them because whenever they talk about interest rates, they are always concerned about the inflationary pressures, and inflation has always been showing very strong momentum quarter on quarter and even year on year. So that's probably one thing that they have to take note about. And with respect to that, they have decided that they should increase or hike rates at least, I think, 3 to 4 times this year. And this has been largely priced into the market. I probably wouldn't see that this would reverse. But if this actually reverses, I think the impact on the valuations of growth stocks is going to skyrocket. So let's see how it goes. Let's pay attention to inflation rates and see how it goes.
If we look at the Indonesia Stock Exchange, they will be adjusting their regulations on profitability and net tangible assets to entice more tech company IPOs in Indonesia. Do you see this as effective catalyst for tech companies to list there?
Definitely. This is indeed news that will be widely appreciated by the corporates, especially the technology companies. And really, the main reason is because these companies are typically loss-making in nature at their early stage of expansion. If you look at Amazon, look at Shopee, look at some of the fast-growing software companies listed in China or in United States, you see that most of them are just loss-making at the start. Additionally, these businesses might not also have that much of a tangible assets because the nature of the industry is very unlike the old economy ones in manufacturing, mining, or property. These tech companies usually have much more intangible assets given the trademarks, patents, and copyrights that have been developed internally by their R&D team. So really, by changing the rules over here, it certainly encourages the locally bred tech companies to prefer listing domestically than in the NASDAQ, for instance, not bearing any valuation differences that they can get between the two exchanges.
Yeah, so there's a little paradox to that, Jerry. What is anathema to tech companies is higher interest rates. And in fact, the Bank of Indonesia was the first among ASEAN central banks to give a hint that it would normalize interest rates. So how would you set that off against the fact that there's going to be a rash of tech IPOs in Jakarta?
I guess the key thing about the increasing in the RRR ratio, which is the reserve requirement ratio by Bank of Indonesia, I think yesterday, right, by around 300 basis points of staggered rate hike over the next two to three quarters. I think the main reason over here alluded by the Bank of Indonesia is really to take gradual steps to normalize the huge excess liquidity surplus circulating in the system. On certain estimates by the market itself, excess liquidity seems to be north of around 15% of banking system deposits compared to around 5 to 6% prior to COVID. So if the RRR hikes weren't announced, we would expect the banking system deposits to go up even further, maybe by 1 to 3 percentage points, which in the current environment where the Fed is pulling back on easing, it seems to be quite excessive. With the hikes, this would limit further increases in the banking system deposits. But I think this hike wouldn't be substantial enough to move the needle on the front end market rates. But the markets will definitely start to look forward to future rate increases and RRR increases because any surprises is going to impact on valuations. Importantly, Bank Indonesia also noted that total excess liquidity would remain above the previous peak of around 23% by the year end. So in short, they are ready to normalize the excess liquidity. And I think this is a very sensible move because as what we have alluded to earlier, which is the Fed, they are moving towards that same direction. The impact felt by big banks would also be somewhat limited given loan deposit ratios are actually lowest in the decade. So there wouldn't be huge dents on their NIMs. At the same time, their balance sheets are still robust enough to support any economic recovery. And now the real question really is on policy rate hikes rather than the reserve requirement ratio, because the policy rate hikes will come hand in hand with inflation rates. Inflation has been picking up, but from a low base and is still very within the lower range of the 2 to 4% band level by the Bank of Indonesia. The BI also has to juggle between domestic recovery and also the spillover effect from the global monetary normalization policy, which is actually not a very easy task to do because of the divergence in monetary policy.
So
I think that's probably a fair expectation to see like 2 to 3 hikes in Indonesia this year.
We have 1 minute left on the clock, Jerry. Maybe very quickly, what do you expect? Do you expect 2022 to be a good year for the Indonesian market? And what are the top picks you have?
I think we remain really bullish in the banking sector, especially the large corporate banks like Bank Negara Indonesia, BCA, and Bank Mandiri, because of a healthy loan deposit ratio, meaning that there is a room for loan growth, as well as them being very, very well positioned for the FY 2022 economic activity resumption. On a similar note, we are also quite bullish on BTPS, which is a micro lender, and as they would be a very good leverage play on economic reopening. given they are quite exposed to the micro and rural segment of Indonesia.
Jerry, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Jerry Goh, Investment Manager, Asia Equities of Aberdeen Standard Investments, talking to us about the equities outlook for Indonesia this year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.